Hey, guys. Hey, I wanted to take a second to introduce the gentleman who's going to speak with us this morning. You guys have heard him teach here before. He's done really well and has always had really great truth in sharing with you guys and a great way in sharing it. And so this is John Almquist. He serves on staff here with our Frontlines Ministry. And so what that means is he's in charge of and owns kind of being the face of Watermark. So as people come in, he owns the parking, all the coffee stuff, the greeting, helping people get connected, all that stuff. And what I love about John is that he's passionate in not just doing that to do it, but doing it as a way to help people get connected to community and most importantly to Christ and the gospel. And so love having him here anytime we can. So if you wouldn't mind, help me welcome John.
Good morning, y'all. Y'all doing all right? I got to see your mannequin challenge. The video looks exceptional, by the way. Looks great. Well, hey, I'm excited. As you guys know, we are in the series right now, This Changes Everything. So as part of what we're going to do today is talking just about a continuation of what Jermaine shared with y'all last week, just how, hey, the words we use. How, as Christians, should that change everything? But before we do that, I want to share with you guys a story where I was having this wonderful day. I was out with friends. It was a beautiful time. Something went out of control. And when we lost control, chaos happened. Right? It was insane. Here, let me share with you that. Who here has been to White Rock Lake? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. That's a lot of y'all. Did not expect that. If I get that timer too. The White Rock Lake, right? Me and some friends went to White Rock. This is probably 2 years ago. We're sitting out. It's a beautiful day. We're right there by the lake. People have hammocks. They brought their dogs. We just relaxed. It was a wonderful time. Spent a couple hours there goofing off, hanging out. The day comes to a close, and we get ready to kind of head back. We start walking towards the parking lot, and I'm walking beside a friend of mine. Her name's Julie. Now, Julie, she is this funny, quirky, wonderful woman, and she's got this dog named Lima. Now, if you don't know Lima, Lima is this Australian shepherd. So think kind of like a German shepherd. So like an 80-pound, 100-pound dog, all muscle, right? And she's walking this dog back, and I'm just sitting there talking to her. All of a sudden, we see this big old dog, Lima, lock eyes with this tiny little, I don't know exactly what it was, kind of chihuahua-looking thing, like rat with a lot of fur. You tracking with me? Big dog versus little dog. And there's like that 1 second where you kind of get to start thinking through things. And immediately, what we began to see was Lima wanted to go after that dog. Now, Lima's there on a leash. Everything's fine. But immediately, she starts to pull. And I'm not thinking anything of it until all of a sudden, out of nowhere, leash broke. Yeah, how does that happen? Yeah, right? This leash snaps. All of a sudden, there's a 90-pound dog running towards a chihuahua on this tiny little leash. This owner standing there, the eyes are like this big, freaking out, right? Because she thinks, okay, my rat's going to get eaten, and I might die. That's a fair thought if I had that dog running to me too. So immediately, in an instant, we lost control. Like, what was this wonderful, beautiful moment? I now remember more for this. Why? It was out of control. So in an instant, you just go into action. I played a little bit of football and some tackle, like I'm sure a bunch of you guys, and I just take after this dog. Just start running after this dog. 90-pound dog, chihuahua, owner, maybe peeing themselves, they're so scared. And I just drill this dog. I take this dog to the ground, grab it by the collar, and we got control. But the reason I share that with you is, again, soon as we lost control, it got chaotic. It wasn't fun then. There was pain and hurt, both to the dog that would have could have been, and to that dog's owner. And the reason I share that with you, to kind of open that illustration up this morning, is when I think about my personal life, when I think about that, those moments happen more often than I'd like. Now, they don't necessarily happen with a dog on a leash at a park. That's not what I mean. But I, sadly, have a wonderful ability to take a moment that's good, it's peaceful. Something goes wrong, out of control. Chaos and pain comes. And when I think about that mostly, it's usually because of things that I say. It's usually because of my tongue, my choice of words. I can have this wonderful moment, but what I say changes everything. And I bet that's true of you. You're sitting at the dinner table, you're having a wonderful time with your family. Maybe you got a friend over or something like that. Somebody says one thing and whew, the entire tone changes. You're snappy with your parents, you're sarcastic. It goes from a happy moment to you can't talk to me that way. It was your words. So today we're just going to talk about how words are powerful. They're significant. And the Bible speaks to specifically to the way you use them. It really matters. It matters your life. It matters in my life. So that's what we're talking through today. We're going to cover three topics. We're going to move kind of quick. The topics are just going to be words. The words we use, our tongue, they're always powerful. Words, they can be poisonous. They can really hurt. If you want to really tear somebody down, and some of you do this intentionally, you say something cruel about them. Words can be poisonous. And then the third is just, hey, words are meant to bless, not to curse. So we're going to stay in the same book of the Bible Jermaine was in last week. We're looking at James 3. We're going to cover verses 1 through 12. So real quickly, James 3, that book, it's written by the half-brother of Jesus. And he's just writing to a Christian audience saying, hey, if you really believe in Jesus, it changes everything. And for the majority of chapter 3, he just says, hey, you want to know the mark of a Christian? See the way they use their tongue. See the way they talk to people. So let's go ahead and kick it off. I'm going to read 1 through 5. James 3, 1 through 5. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, we won't focus on that line, but just a takeaway there is, hey, words matter so much. Be really considerate to how you use them publicly. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. This is sarcasm. Able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue. It's a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. So my first point, what James is illustrating through these five verses is your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. So if any of you've ridden a horse, this is one of the illustrations they use, right? A horse, you put a bridle on it, and the center of the bridle is a bit. And what that allows you to do is control a massive, powerful, strong animal with just a small piece of metal. You can direct it wherever you want it to go. Now with a ship, the rudder is simply on the end of a ship. You have a massive ship, and then the rudder is what steers and guides it. It's seemingly insignificant compared to the ship. But without it, ship's lost. And it directs the ship where to go. The Apostle James, he's telling us here, your tongue is just like that. The words you use are tremendously powerful. They can change conversations like that. So here, let me illustrate it to you. Let's say that you're having you just took a test. It was a hard test. You had to study really hard for it, right? You go to school, you get your grade back, you look at it, you get an 88. Some of you, that's awesome. I would have been really proud of that. Some of you, you're like, 88, let's go 98, right? Good for you guys, study hard, right? But hey, you get your grade back, and you're coming home, and for some reason, you see me walking down the street. You're excited to see me, and you want to share with me the grade. And you come up, you pull it out of your backpack, you show, hey, John, look, I had this hard test. I had to study hard for it. Here's what I got. And you turn around, and you say, hey, here's an 88. Now, I'm going to walk you through three responses. Three responses, each one, I'm just going to use two words. And I'm going to show you how the words I use change everything. So the first one, you come up, you show me the test, and all of a sudden I see there, 88, and I go, that's okay. That's okay. Like, you tried hard. Good job. Way to work. Right? Option one. Option two, you come up, you show me the test, you're excited, you look at it, and I look at it, it's like, that is amazing. That's amazing. Immediately, one word. That's okay. That's amazing. Last answer. You show me your test, you got an 88, you study really hard. That's pathetic. Yeah. You get it? And what did I do? All I did is change one word. I just changed one word. Words are powerful. So if you don't use them in a way that is informed by God, if you don't decide, hey, a tongue, it's just a tool. I'll use it how God wants me. You have tremendous power to burn things to the ground. Let's keep reading. Let's see what he says after that. James 3, 5 through 8. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. Read this. And set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. My second point tonight is your words can be poisonous. Some of you, you know that, and you use that to hurt people. That is not Christ-like. Some of you, you know that, and it's because you've been really hurt by people. And then all of us, we're both, depending on the time. Depending on the time. So right here, you guys finish this sentence for me. All right, finish the sentence for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Yeah, can we all just agree that's a lie?
Yeah,
yeah, total lie. Total lie. All right? Because we use words to hurt. Some of the different ways we do that, gossip. That's what Jermaine talked about last week. When you're intimidated or you're made insecure by, or hey, you just like talking about somebody behind their back. You're not doing that to build them up. You do that to tear them down. You can make fun of, insult somebody. Perhaps that's you and your siblings. Perhaps that's how you talk about your parents when they're not around to your friends. You make fun of them. Or perhaps you're this person, right? You make fun of them, but you kind of cloak it, you hide it in a joke. And then if you see you've hurt them, you just look at me and say, it's just a joke. Don't be so sensitive. Don't take it so seriously. You're not trying to help, you're trying to hurt. Words can be poisonous. You could tell secrets about them. You could spread lies. Simply put, when you're not using words to build up, you're using them to tear down. Tearing down is just hate. In the heart of a Christian who's been loved by God, you got no excuse. There's no room. So you got to decide, how will I use my words? Because I could set things ablaze in an instant. Who here, have you guys ever heard of an advertising icon, in my opinion? Smokey the Bear? Yeah. Y'all know Smokey the Bear is? Do we have a picture of Smokey the Bear? Right? Smokey the Bear. Right? I grew up North Georgia, all around southern tip of the Appalachian Mountains. Heard about this guy all the time. His slogan, only you can prevent wildfires. And it's true. You guys know how wildfires typically start? It's human error. It's kids like me out in the woods with matches, right? Or it's people who go camping and are not responsible for what it looks like. Because here's what's true. If you're out in the woods and you drop a match, all you got to do is find one dry leaf. You find one dry leaf, you can probably get to one dry bush to one dry tree. And then all of a sudden, it's everywhere. You lose control, and you set something on fire, and it's out of control. It's the same thing with words. So many of us have had those moments where you just tear somebody's world apart. And it just started with one match. It just started with one word. Words can be poisonous. And it's up to you to prevent that. My third point now, continuing on in the text. We're looking now at James 3, 9 through 12. James 3, 9 through 12. With it we bless our Lord and Father. So what it's talking about is what we just did. You remember we just sang, be thou my vision. So saying, hey, you sing praise to God, but with the same tongue you sing praise to God, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh water and salt? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grape produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. My third point, words are meant to bless, not curse. Words are a gift from God. And when you abuse, if you misuse the gift, you curse people with what should be a blessing. The problem here, guys, it's with any area of our life. Your faith, your belief in Jesus, it should change everything about you, including the way you speak. It should change everything about me, including the way I speak. So the issue here, it's inconsistency. That's what he's talking about right here. It's about, hey, you come Sunday and you praise God, but then you get in the car and you make fun of a sibling. You walk out into the lobby and you make fun of the person who you don't really like that wanted to sit by you. We sing, be thou my vision, and then we live like, you're not my vision. It's inconsistent. So what do we do about it, y'all? Like, how do we change? What do we do about it? So as you think through how you tame the tongue, how by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you take control. You don't let it control you. The first thing you got to do is realize it starts with the heart. It's a heart issue. Luke 6 says it best, in my opinion, Luke 6, 45. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. Christian, that should be you. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what is it saying? If I want to change my tongue, if I want to change the way I speak, I have to go after my heart. So how do I do that? I'd ask you guys, right? What do you surround yourself with? Do you surround yourself with people who are constantly making fun of others? Do you listen to people who are constantly cussing, saying bad words? Do you watch movies that use language terribly? Do you listen to songs that if you were to go and say it to your parents, you know they'd be upset by it? What are you filling your heart with? What do you love? As you fight for a faith, it's really yours. As you fight for a love of Jesus Christ that changes you, it'll change the way you speak. Practically, here's a way that really helps me do that. Because this is one for me. My words can get me in trouble. So here's something I want to train you guys to do, right? Those of you who are in small groups, I want you to practice it. Come Wednesday and share how you did. You know the moments when you hurt people with what you say. You can always feel it. There's a tension. There's an awkwardness. Maybe you meant to do it. Maybe you didn't mean to do it. I want you to practice this phrase. Will you forgive me? My words hurt you. I'm sorry. I was out of line. Will you forgive me? And I'm serious, all of you, that is maturity. When you take ownership for your actions, you take ownership for your words. Everyone hurts people, but Christians are called to take ownership and repent. And if you're like me, and you say, will you forgive me enough, you're going to want to stop saying it all the time. And as you want to stop saying it, what that is God is working on the heart. He's working on the heart. So to recap, y'all, words are powerful. Words can be poisonous. They're meant to bless, sing praise to God, honoring others made in his likeness. They're not meant to curse. Not meant to curse. So to close, y'all, what is something people have to do in order to live? Don't answer. There's a bunch of things. Well, not a bunch, but a couple. Right? One of those is, right? You got to breathe. I'd ask you that, like, I'd ask you this. The book of James, same book right here, it says, every good and perfect thing is a gift from God Almighty. So the breath that I breathe, it's a gift. So where did that breath first originate? Now, some of you, you may know this already in your Bible, some of you may not. I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning. That breath came as a gift from Jesus Christ. Like, here's how mankind was formed. God creates the world, and then he goes to fill the world. And as he fills the world, the most beautiful part of his creation is mankind. Starts with Adam. God reaches down. Christ reaches down into the dirt. And he pulls up dust. And he breathes life into it. He fills the nostrils of man, and Adam is formed. That breath then gives life to mankind. Till today. Till today. And now, the Bible doesn't say this explicitly. It doesn't say this explicitly. This is just my thought, so I can't tell you this is for sure true. But in my opinion, as Jesus Christ breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he gave him breath, here's what he knew. Here's what he knew. The life I'm giving you, I don't want this. I'm not making this happen, but the life I'm giving you, it's going to lead to you killing me. Do you see that? He breathes life into Adam. Humanity goes on, and Christ knows, I'll have to rescue mankind. So much so that Jesus, right about the time he's come, he lived on the earth. He grows old. He's about 33 years old. He's done public ministry, and he's going to the cross. He walks into the city. It was a city there called Jerusalem. He's got 7 days until he's going to die, and he knows it. And as he walks into the city, people are calling it a triumphant entry. They're praising him. They sing a word, Hosanna. Hosanna is just praise God, mixed with save me. They praise him. That's Matthew 21. 6 chapters later, you see then, Matthew 26, you see the same crowd, the same interaction of Jesus with a group of people. You see that same crowd go from Hosanna, praise God, save me, to that same crowd yelling, crucify him. Now, were the exact same people in the crowd? I don't know. Do I think Matthew, the author, intentionally uses that? Absolutely. But the same people who yell Hosanna, yell crucify him. We are those people. We will sing, be thou my vision. And then we'll get on Facebook and say terrible things about people. We'll go to school and make fun of other kids. Be thou my vision. Our parents walk away and we insult them to our friends. It's inconsistent. It's broken. But the beautiful thing is, how does Jesus respond? Right? Is Jesus is nailed to that cross and he's hanging there? He talks to his dad. He talks to God. And he says a few things, but the book of Luke captures it when he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The tongue can set life ablaze. And we do that intentionally. And even there, Christ Almighty says, forgive them. They know not what they do. So Christian, you know what you're doing now. fight to submit your tongue to the Spirit. So Max is going to come up. He's going to sing one more song. And we're just going to talk about how that breath is just a gift from you, God. Every word I have is a gift from you. I'm going to give it back. And I'll come up and close it.